Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's get in some baseball here as we discuss. You know, we've been discussing Aaron Rodgers. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Been discussing Rodgers and the possibility of him coming back with the Jets and obviously the head coaching search. But there was some interesting stuff yesterday, BT, from Andy Martino of SNY, and basically saying that I'm trying to pick the thing. Instagram sucks. I can't stand Instagram. I'm trying to get the SNY feed on Instagram because they had it all laid out perfectly, and now I can't search it. But anyway, Andy said that the Mets and Pete Alonso right now are far apart. And it's a flip of the coin whether he's going to be back with the Mets, which is nothing new. We kind of felt that that was going to be the case. And the longer this goes, the worse I feel Pete returning to the Mets. I think Stearns is playing hardball here, and I think ultimately it's going to come back to bite him. I think Pete's going to say, okay, fine, you're playing hardball. You think I'm worth this much? I'm going to go somewhere else for the same and stick it to you, and then whatever Pete wants to do with his life after that. But the point is the other options outside of Alonso are not good at all. And Andy detailed that it's not likely that it would be Bregman. There are no good trade options, meaning that neither Yandy Diaz nor Brandon Lowe are available as trade options from Tampa Bay.
Saw that.
It would be likely Vientos, Beatty, Acuna, Mauricio getting the reps at third and or first base during spring training to try to figure it out. I mean, that's basically what you're looking at for the Mets. Then we can get into the bullpen stuff and the rotation later on. But as far as Pete and that lineup go, how is that appealing on any level going with the youngsters?
Well, it's not. If that's the kid, that doesn't mean it can't work out, because Mark Vientos started the year in Syracuse a year ago. And then when he got called up, basically the token game when they could expand the rosters, and he had a home run, he got sent down. So, and then he wound up becoming an October stud. I love Vientos. So I don't, listen, it sounds ominous, like not very appealing sitting here in early January. It doesn't mean it's going to finish up that way, as you well know. But I would say this, if that's the way it's going to go, let's say Pete bounces, which I do think is 50-50, and you and I have been all over this, and they do go with the internal young options, then I think what they need to do, this was also something Martino was talking about yesterday, you better get your ass on the phone with Seattle and start talking about Castillo and start bolstering that pitching staff, because if you don't have a stick behind Juan Soto, you're not going to bludgeon people, even though Soto's amazing, you're just not going to bludgeon people to death, and you're not going to win by offense. You better get some more arms in there.
Yeah, but then what are they doing here? If they don't...
I don't know. I'm a little confused.
They need... And then the other report yesterday, I forget who had it.
Suzuki?
No, we'll get to that with the Yankees in a little bit. But it does sound... Yeah, from the Mets perspective, doesn't sound favorable. And I never thought, like... We had hopes that that was going to be the case. I don't think it was realistic. I'm not so sure about the Yankees, although
I don't think he's going to the Yankees.
It does seem like that's at least more in play than the Mets. So take Sasaki off the board. By the way, the Mets actually need him. The Yankees don't. Mets need an arm. Sasaki is potentially the greatest value in the sport. I think he'd be the best asset because of the value and what he has potential-wise with that nasty stuff. But forget the pitching for a second. The Mets bring in Soto trying to build their lineup better than what it was last year. Now, if you replace Soto replace Alonso with Soto, yes, it's better theoretically, but the idea is to add Soto to what you had last year, not take away and bring Juan Soto in. Not to mention that they still need DH. So the other little report, I forget who had it, was that they were intrigued by Verdugo.
Now, do you do?
And not very well, apparently. I mean,
well,
I don't want
to. Do you do? Imagine, you need a scout report, Sal? Yeah. What do you need? Hey, he's going to make some good plays in the left field. He's going to wear some nice bling.
Well,
you know, do you do?
Here's why I'm not. First of all, I don't want
this
it.
This is so interesting. Yeah. This is happening.
Here's why I don't want it, but I like what the Mets are trying to do. They were in on Teoscar Hernandez. He's decided to go to the Dodgers, whatever. The Mets know that they need a DH, But instead of just getting a DH, they're going to get an outfielder who can, you know, Verdugo, whatever, play left field. Maybe you have Nimmo DH.
Yeah,
that's a better way to do things. Like, they're better defensively with Verdugo on left field, and you could have Nimmo DH and figure that out. Maybe they get somebody else, another outfielder that's not named Starling Marte, because I think they agree that Marte's toast at this point, so there's no need. You'd rather have a more versatile, better defender that could also play DH, especially if the offense is going to be equal.
I agree.
But they need that in addition to bringing back Alonso. And by the way, if it's not Alonso, I'm fine with that. Just tell me then who. Who's replacing Pete?
Like, I think they did. I think Martino did. It seems like he's being one of those guys.
That's not it.
Who's sitting behind. If it's not Alonso, and it is from the pool of young players we mentioned, Mauricio going to work his way into the equation as well, coming back from the injury. Beatty, we'll see what he can do if he can finally hit. Who's hitting opening day? Who's batting behind Juan Soto? Honestly.
I mean, they don't have that guy.
Well, but somebody's got to do. So what are you going to do? You're going to keep Lindor? I mean, you're not going to mess around with Lindor. He's got to be a leadoff man.
Yeah, but they could go then Lindor 1, Soto 2, Vientos 3.
I mean, that's...
Nimmo 4. Oh, my God.
Wouldn't you rather have Soto protecting Vientos than Vientos protecting Soto? Just based on the logic of the... He's a kid.
I'm okay with that.
Come on.
I'm okay with that lefty-righty stuff. But point is, they need an impact bat at the top of the order still.
100%. Like, the division's good.
It's a glaring omission from their lineup.
Like, very much so.
It has to happen. Mauricio, Beatty, Acuna, all those guys from within, not to say that they can't be a player at some point, they're not that bad to go along with the top three with Lindor, Soto, Vientos.
All right, let me give you something here. So let's say, and it's not a leap, let's say that Stearns is playing chess here and he's not going to mess around with checkers. So I know that right now it's not incredibly, you got Soto, you're pumped, I get it, he's going to be amazing. But other than that, it's been very quiet outside of the retention of Minaya. You guys need work to do on offense, we all know that. So let's say they don't do anything else. Pete bounces, right? And next offseason, they give Kyle Tucker $450 million. And he's, 28 years old.
You can't keep kicking it down the road here.
No, but Kyle Tucker, I think he's a superstar. Yeah. I know he's much better than Pete. I wanted him to the Yankees.
Same thing again, get into a bidding war with the Yankees again.
Well, and you beat him again, from your perspective. But it doesn't mean that you can't have a competitive 2025. Like, wouldn't you rather, if I'm the Met, there's sentiment involved that I can't calculate that for myself. I know not for you, but if I'm the Mets for the next 5 years, if I'm running the Mets...
I see what you're saying.
I would much rather have Soto forever and Tucker or Vlad next year than just Pete to satisfy the open for this year and a lesser player the next 3-4 years.
And maybe you're right. Maybe that is part of their brilliant thinking, which I would agree is better, because if you're going to do... One, if you're only going to invest in another big bat long-term, one other bat aside from Soto, and obviously Lindor too, but if you're going to have one more, you'd rather it be Guerrero or Tucker. There's just an unknown there. And also, what about now? Like, you brought in Soto to win now.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that Stearns is going to try to, thread the needle just like he did last year, and thinking, I almost think last year could be, because they had success when nobody thought that they would, with a lousy pitching staff going in, with no bullpen, whether it's going in or in season. Their bullpen was pathetic. I have no idea how that bullpen went to the NLCS a year ago.
That's because your pitching coach. It's phenomenal.
And even with a lineup that we all acknowledge was less than, they had success where they were two wins away from getting to the World Series. Maybe it makes Stearns think, look, I got this. I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to overextend for Pete. I don't need to go trade for this guy or sign that guy. We'll get the guys that we want and we believe in, and then I'll patchwork it together year by year and figure it out. When the better investment comes along, whether it's Guerrero Jr. next year or Tucker next year, then make that investment. But until then, piece it together. I just don't think that you could have sustained success like that.
Well, I think you can, now that you have Soto. Now, if you were trying to do it every single year without Soto, a certifiable superstar, and then Lindor cut below that, and Vientos will see where he winds up. I think if you would try to do it every year with a makeshift pitching staff and not a top three or four player in the game like you now have with Juan, I think that's trickier.
Okay, but we agree they're doing it again with a makeshift rotation.
Well, I don't think Minaya's makeshift at this point. I think Sean Minaya is the top of the rotation pitcher. Well,
what about all the other guys there?
Well, listen, Kodai Senga was terrific when he was healthy 2 years ago. He's very good.
So are you in the camp of that they're going in with a better rotation than they had last year? Which is fair, by the way. If you're saying Minaya,
yes.
I mean, you basically are. If you,
I think Montas and Seve are pretty much a wash. I know that Montas washed out here and whatever, but
so incrementally
good stuff.
Better.
He threw 96 last year.
Incrementally better rotation.
Yeah,
I do
you might
agree
get Tanner Scott.
And the bullpen is...
You might get Tanner Scott.
Have you looked at some of the names we
threw up? Dude, if you get Tanner Scott, you got Tanner Scott and Edwin Diaz back-to-back? Come on.
Yeah, I guess the rest of the names. All right, and then I was going to get to the lineup. So, right, so they're going in basically, though, similar rotation to what they had last year.
I would say slightly better. Keep going.
Similar bullpen to what they had last year.
Yeah.
I mean, last year they got ravaged by injury,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Okay, but if they get Tanner Scott on a shorter, by the way, the reason they would be interested, it would be a shorter.
Big AAV.
Yeah.
I saw that,
which is great.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
So do that.
Okay.
So mildly better or at least same bullpen.
Yeah.
And then the lineup, like in their thought, in my mind, I wanted Soto to put them over the top.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And in their mind, they're saying, well, even if we lose Pete, we brought in Juan Soto, who's far better.
Yeah, so you basically, the upgrade with Soto is somewhat negated by the loss of Pete. But then I could come back and say, well, you know, now Mauricio's there on opening day rather than coming up when he came up. So you get the extra 30 games. What did I say? I'm sorry.
Mauricio.
It could be too. I meant good catch. I meant Viento. So in theory, there's more of a 30-game uptick because he's there opening day rather than, you know, toiling in the minors to start. You know, I do think Acuña's going to be on the field a lot for you guys this
year.
And I
like him.
And Alvarez, listen, we can dance around. Every time we talk about the Mets, I almost always go back to this. Similar to Volpe with the Yankees, Alvarez, yeah. I don't know who he is. He's interesting, but I still don't know who he is. I think he's got easy power, but I think it's fleeting, meaning it disappears for a month. Like, I don't look at Alvarez as a superstar, potentially. I once did. Now, I think for me, as I readjust who he's going to be, I'm wondering if he's going to even just be a star. Like, I don't even know if he's going to be a star.
No, we have.
And he needs you to be. I think he needs to be for your lineup if you don't bring in more bats.
And by the way, I do believe, like, I believe Alvarez will be better. But you're right, there's an unknown, so it's a question mark. And I like going in, whether it's football and head coaches that we've been talking about all show long, whether it's lineups or rotations, I want to eliminate the question marks. With Alvarez, it is a clear question mark. He could still be an impact bat in the middle of the order. He might be a bust. Who the hell knows? I even think there are, now, to me, in my mind, I'm penciling in Vientos to being an offensive star moving forward.
Me too.
But he's only done it for 1 year. And we've seen plenty of times before where guys have had a great first season, great rookie year, and then have fallen off a little bit.
Not guys who have done it in the regular season and October against elite pitching. His heartbeat was so slow in October, he's a stud. I'm not worried about him.
That's why I'm sold on him because of what you just said. But I still think that there is an unknown to a certain extent with that. But anyway, let's just pencil. I mean, you have to at this point. So then can you argue that in their minds, their lineup is still better? Because even if they lose Pete, they replace him with Soto.
Yeah.
They upgrade with Siri over Harrison Bader. Even if he's not every day, he's a better offensive player.
More power, more steals.
Correct.
Lower average, but better. I agree. More electric.
They're going to, if it's not Pete, they're still going to add another bat, meaning Winker back for, he'll be here for a full year. Verdugo type.
Like that type
to play the outfield and DH.
Yeah. Third best team in the division. Right now, they're the third best team in the division. And even if they get a Verdugo or they do some of those other things outside of Pete and maybe something else, whether it's a Castillo, another arm, whatever, Tanner Scott, the Mets are the third best team in the division.
Right, but they were a year ago, too, so it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. You're right. I thought, sitting here last year, I thought the Mets would be a 76 win team. They were almost in the World Series.
Right, but
so what is it? But they also, let me ask you this.
Yeah, but that's my point, right? Like, how many times can we do that? How many times can we go in thinking, hey, this team is a, I don't know, 78, 83, 80, whatever win team, and then exceed those expectations to get to 90-plus wins, win a division maybe, or go to get to the World Series? Like, last year, to me, was more of an outlier.
Yeah.
Where everything came together. Even in the season where not everything went right, it came together.
Okay.
And they took advantage of that and got hot at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
They were hanging on by a thread to even make the postseason.
Well, it's funny. We say, all right, you know, the Mets were almost in the World Series. We could also say the flip side is the Mets almost weren't in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Not like the Mets won 95 games. Understood. See, I don't have an issue with their plan, because I know that their plan at some point is going to include another superstar in addition to Soto. And I'm not talking Pete. Whether it's Tucker, whether it's Vladdy, whatever. So as long as they are in the mid-ish 80s, you know, in terms of at least on paper, kind of a roster going into the season, I think they'll make the necessary deadline tweaks to give themselves a chance to be a playoff team. And oh yeah, by the way, Sal, as they're doing this, their a lot of their power arms are in the lower levels of the minors. Right. I know that that's not appealing now, and I know you don't love the minors like I do. I get that.
But that's good for the sustained success long term.
Well, especially when you look at the success of Mets teams, almost all of those teams were dotted with young flame-throwing arms that came up. Tidewater, Syracuse, like that's
plus. Then
that's
not,
the way it is with the Mets usually.
Then you're not overpaying for pitching on the free agent market.
Which is something I don't think Stearns wants to do anyway. I think that's one of his main theories or,
which I love.
You know what I'm saying.
Core beliefs.
Yeah, core belief. Yep.
Bill is in Goshen, New York. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good. What's up?
I would hope Stearns does something like this. And I know Boris and Pete are looking for length. We get it. I hope there's no sentimentality on Stearns' side because, really, he should look at that. I agree with you guys. I think they should be looking long-term with this. So why not try to offer him a one-year worth more than he's worth for this one season, give him a player option, and then go after either Vladdy at this trade deadline or next year? Or
I said that the other day, Bill. Now, I took it a little bit too far. I'm like, how about 1 year, $50 million? And Sal kind of chuckled. But the point was, along with what you just said, all right, obviously 50's a bit wacky. How about 1 year with a Pete Alonso option for 40?
Right. The only downside to that is, well, two downsides. One, you're far overpaying for Pete Alonso. But more importantly, number two, you're again putting him in a spot where he's got all the pressure on him in a walk year.
Yeah, okay. Now, the second one we can't control, and maybe you just say, all right, that was an aberration. Maybe he processes it better with Soto in the lineup next to him. I got you. It's a bit of an unknown. But, yeah, it is an overpay. But think about this. If he would have signed the three-year $90 million, which is 30, I mean, if it's a $10 million overpay from 30 to 40 for 1 year with the player option, to me, because I'm not a huge Pete all-around, all-encompassing fan as a baseball player, not a power hitter, everything, as you know, I would rather give him $10 more for 1 year than give him $90 million and be married to him for three.
Right, although the security of maybe the three and the $90 million maybe gets him to perform better. Here's why, and by the way, all those scenarios that we just laid out were without Pete, so imagine how much easier it is with him back in place.
Sure.
Just bring that bat in, and now, okay, yeah, the rotation a little bit better, the bullpen you expect to be a little bit better, and now the lineup is definitively better with the potential to be even more, whether they get another DH, whether one of these young guys turns out to be a stud. With Pete back, the plan is just so much easier, and here's why I wouldn't be opposed to the 390. I think that would almost be perfect. You give him a little security, you get him in that lineup this year, and then next year you could still go get Vladimir Guerrero Jr., have him play first base, or whoever. You want
and have Pete
soccer?
DH?
Yes.
You can.
He transitions to DH
like
for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. No,
you don't think Stearns
no
knows this? Absolutely. Yeah, Mets got the power here.
So the issue is if you're ticking Pete off by not extending, let's say, that one more year to go to the 120 for the fourth year, roughly, let's just say, are you willing to run the risk of saying, hey, Pete, this is the best offer. You haven't been able to beat it. Mm-hmm. What if he maybe matches it and says, screw you, I'm going? That's the risk that you're running here.
And that's a risk I'm willing to take because now I'm just answering it from Stearns' perspective or looking at it from David Stearns' perspective. I want Pete. I don't need Pete. I like Pete. I don't love Pete. So if Pete wants to go somewhere else, be my guest.
BT and Sal on the Fan. When we come back, I will announce the two WWE superstars that Huff and BT are going to get to. Well, BT's going to get to pick from. They're going to have to dress up the Friday before Super Bowl. That is their penance for losing the perfect parlay pick segment. So we'll do that when we come back, as well as your calls. You want to call and talk about Rodgers and Rex? We could do that as well as the Met stuff. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019. The number to call. We're talking Mets and Pete Alonso. We're talking Jets and Aaron Rodgers. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. And right now, we're talking bets and the payoff for the perfect parlay pick segment. As I was this year's winner, remember last year, in case you missed it, where were you? Last year, Hoff won. He had us dress up as Goldust and Doink. BT, you finished second, so you chose Goldust. You put me in the clown suit and Doink, so we paid that off. Now, I get to pick the two superstars that you will dress as, and then you obviously get to decide which one you want. You ready? You ready for your fate?
Yeah, I have a request.
Yeah, go ahead. Is there anybody you definitely don't want?
Well, I mean, I was going to ask you if I could pick my own, if we can kind of change up the rules a little bit here.
No. who would you have in mind? Who would you
like? Roddy Piper. You know, somebody I like.
No, something cool. Hulk, no. Yeah, exactly. No, it's definitely not those guys.
I'm ready to do whatever it is, no matter how humiliating. Listen, personally, I think the worse it is, the better for the show. It's hysterical. Right. I'll do whatever I got to do.
But there are parameters. Like, a lot of people, I put this out on social media, they're saying, Demolition, which would be great in theory, but we're not going to have that much skin exposed. Also, I'm not sure those costumes would get past HR. Like, I'm not trying to get fired.
So
it is not, in fact, Demolition. All right, ready? Former WWE superstar number one. Hit it.
I hated this guy.
Brother Love. Yes. Oh, yes.
I wanted to punch this guy right in the face. I couldn't stand this guy.
I hated him, but that made him so good.
Was that Pritchard?
Yeah,
Pritchard, right?
Who's obviously done a great podcast, Something to Wrestle With, with Conrad Thompson, about all those old days. So one of you two.
If I remember the white suit, the red shirt, and the red face, and slick back hair.
Yeah,
right?
The glasses, it's a good costume.
Not terrible.
The red face paint,
All right. When I first heard the little instrument, I'm like, is that Hillbilly Jill? Jim, it sounded like a banjo.
I did think about Hillbilly Jim. I chose to go Brother Love, who was one of my favorites, instead.
Okay.
Now, that was my own. The second one I got from social media, a couple people mentioned it, that I was talking to other people, they mentioned it. It was enough, so I was like, okay, this is not a bad one. Not sure if you can remember the music. I'm not really that familiar with it. It happened just as I was starting to get out. You probably know the name.
Give me about.
I would say 90. I remember him and say 92. Maybe 91, 92.
Early. Okay, go ahead.
All right, go ahead, hit it.
It's not hitting yet.
Yeah, you might not get it with the
music.
Is
it a manager or an actual wrestler?
No, an actual wrestler.
I don't know this one.
Papa Shango.
Oh, God. Papa Shango.
So you, my
first guesses.
You know
that ain't gonna be me.
Yeah.
That's my first instinct. Let me do a little Google here.
You, my friend, will get to pick between Brother Love and Papa Shango. Now, Papa Shango, you don't have to wear a wig for that one. You just have to put the little face paint on and the hat.
Papa Shango.
There's a lot there.
Here he is. Let's see. Well. There's the Godfather.
Godfather was another guy that he played.
Oh, this Papa guy, Shango, right? This dude?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, with the white face paint there.
I got to be honest with you, you're very much a Papa Shango guy.
Hoff doesn't want any part of Brother Love.
That's fantastic. Hoff has zero say. Now let me just take a look at Brother Love. I love you.
And last year you kind of went back and forth. You were thinking, maybe you'd be Doink because you don't want to be Goldust.
Yeah.
And you end up thinking, I don't want to be a clown. Of course, I'm forever a clown.
This guy's got glasses too. My God.
Brother Love?
This is an easy decision, but I'm going to let him marry for that. This is an easy decision. Easy decision.
Is it?
Yeah, I think for one of us, we're getting off pretty good. Hell yeah, man. It's not like you're asking me to be like adorable Adrian Adonis
sit
out there, my love handles exposed for the world.
I kind of can't do that because we had that rule where, we may have to start, maybe next year, start opening up.
That's good enough. Next year, I'll punt till next year. Do whatever you want. Don't worry about next year. I know who I'm already going to be.
Really?
Oh, no question. No question.
You want to announce that?
No, I'm going to wait till tomorrow.
Why? Let me know.
Because you'll know when you need to know. I'm going to involve my people, just like Sal involved his people with taking solicitations as to who we should be.
Yes.
I'm going to play the same game and see what we come up with and then make the final verdict.
I'm surprised that you would think it's that easy because
it's simple.
I think of the two, like Papa Shango is the cooler costume of the two.
Now, was he a heel? He had to be a heel. That was a good guy.
He had that whole thing with Ultimate Warrior and made Warrior bleed or something black.
Really?
Yeah.
Bleed from his head.
I got to do some research.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing, too.
Right.
Not much research to do on a clown. I was like, all right, it's easy.
I am not, in fact, a clown. I'm sitting there just a clown.
What was his, what was Brother Love's shop? Was it, what was the talk show that he did? Like, did he have,
that's a good point.
Like the Snake Pit and like Piper's Pit and the Body Shop?
I think it was just a Brother Love show, I think.
Was it? I think it was a catcher name. That. Either way, I know what I'm going to do, but I will have the final confirmation tomorrow. I appreciate the slight amount of mercy.
Yes.
You could have gone for the juggler. You didn't.
Well, give me,
I appreciate
give me,
that.
Give me something that would have been...
Well, I mean, if you make me and Hoff become like the wild Samoans with, yeah, you know, our again, bare chest out there for the whole world to see.
But you kind of took that off the table.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Especially Hoff asking, you know, basically begging mercy with his wife. I want to keep his marriage intact.
Yeah.
I really wanted to do Andre the Giant.
With the singlet?
Yes.
And who's
Hoff,
the other one, though?
Hoff would, well, that was just one of them. And I gave some thought. There was
maybe
some,
Bobby the Brain Hayden?
No, Bushwhackers were in there.
I hated those cornballs. They were weak.
But there's really not much to it. Like, you've could have come in.
Yeah. I mean, truth of the matter is, the fun thing with this, and even though I lost again, the fun thing is the makeup.
Yes.
Like,
well,
that's where you get the dig.
That's the point. It was either body exposed for embarrassment, singlet, or whatever.
And
or,
I'm less worried. Yeah. I'm not worried, but I'm like, that bothers me less than Hoff, but I didn't really want to do that either.
You don't know if you want that out there.
Yeah, I don't think my wife. I mean, his wife was like, don't do it.
Yeah.
I don't think Jen would care as much.
I don't want my body out there on digital, on social media.
Me neither, but up to three, I think I'm okay, more okay with my body being out there than your body.
That is true right now.
Not much. Not much.
I need some months to get into the show.
I haven't touched the weight in 3 weeks since I ruptured something in the show. I went for the MRI yesterday, by the way.
How'd that go?
I mean, I have to go for the MRI on Monday. Not well.
Especially after the holiday and all that stuff.
Yeah, I know. Feel a little extra thick. I'll let you guys know tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, listen. Scale of 1 to 10, you said it was between 8 and 9?
I thought 8, 9, yeah.
I actually think it's a little more benign from my perspective.
Okay.
And even from Hoff's. I that's mercy shown. I'm going to go with a 6.5, 7.
Really?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Sal. Thank you.
Well, it's...
Honestly.
You know, it's tough to top Doink and Goldust.
Look where we're starting from.
Yeah, I know. That's the point. Hoff nailed it last year. All right. BT and Sal on the fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. John is calling from Danbury, Connecticut. What's up, John?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
How are you, John?
Sal, I just wanted to agree with you on how the Mets are approaching their offseason. I'm not a Mets fan, but I do, like, you know, I want them to do well because I think it's good for New York and good for baseball. But they can't sit here and say, hey, we have a good team. You know, we made it last year. We have Juan Soto. Like, let's see what happens. And then the next year they say, okay, well, we're missing this. Let's do this. They have to go all in now. Like, I know Juan Soto is young, but the rest of the team isn't. Like, you have to do what needs to be done in order to win now because you don't know what the future holds. And also, I want your opinion. What is a successful Mets season look like in 2025?
Hey, it's a great question, John, and thank you for the call. You nailed two things. Number one, last year was the punt year. You only get one punt. Now it's go time. That's it. I'm tired of. I sat here, BT, and you fought and said, hey, you want this guy, that guy? I'm like, nope, I'm fine with punting this year. The punt happened to result in a major first down. Muff punt, recovered, they scored, got to the NLCS. Great punting season for the Mets. That's over now. No more. No more. They got Juan Soto, the biggest free agent in the history of sports. There is no punting. So then to further that point, that not only do they need to do more because you don't punt anymore after signing Juan Soto, it's go time. The results, to me, anything less than a World Series win is going to be a disappointment. That's just the facts. It's a great reality. It doesn't mean you come on and yell and kick and scream and go nuts if they get to the World Series and lose, or if they get to the NLCS and lose a hard-fought series, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Hey, things happen in the postseason. The goal is to be in the postseason every year moving forward, or more often than not, with the realistic chance to win a World Series. And if you don't win a World Series, much like the Yankees, it is a disappointment no matter what. That's it. That's where the Mets should be. That, to me, is the highest compliment you could pay a franchise.
Okay, I get that. And that's what you guys are striving for. And I've always said that I respect that. That's what you guys should be striving for. But... man, like, so let's say you don't do anything else in terms of a big stick, and Soto has a big year, and Lindor is really, really good again, and Alvarez has a good year, and Vientos has a good year, follows it up again, and maybe one of the other two, whether it's Acuna or Beatty or Mauricio, they emerge, they prove to be very viable, and you get to the NLCS, and you lose to the Dodgers. I mean, come on, man.
I know, right, but still, you fall short.
You fall short, and, but I mean, how are you not?
All right, but you could say the same thing. Like, for me, from a Yankee fan perspective, last year, yeah, it's great they made the World Series. Not good enough. You got to win the World Series. And I think that's a great thing to be able to have. Unfortunately for Mets fans, the idea of, hey, the little engine that could over-exceeding, that's over.
I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
That's not the little engine. Like, that's just the reality of some young players being young.
Right, I get it, but those days should be over now.
Okay.
Like, it can't be,
then you better get another bat.
Like, last year, it felt like Mets fans wanted to throw a parade. I know there was some back and forth, you know, just because they got to the NLCS. It was a great year coming out of nowhere. Getting to the NLCS next year is just not good enough. Like, in season, it's going to be a fun run. Mm-hmm. You enjoy it.
Yeah.
You're thankful that you have a team that's competitive. But at the end, if it falls short of a World Series win, it's been a failure.
Well, let me boil it down this way. To me, like, so I was saying this about the Yankees. Like, hey, how many prime years do you have of Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole?
Yeah.
That was my thing going back to 2 years ago. You got to do some stuff. That's what I said. Hey, I hope the Yankees hemorrhage and bleed out so it's so embarrassing. Remember that? That Hal was so inspired because he's embarrassed to change this, and he got Soto. Didn't do enough. They fell short, whatever. They didn't go quite all in, but they obviously got to the World Series. I got news for everybody. You know, Lindor's prime is slowly ticking away as well. What's the difference? You know, literally outside of a couple of years, but he's in the middle of the diamond. What's the difference between how we view Lindor, what remains of his prime, and what remains of Aaron Judge's prime? Judge is the better player, but it should still be the same premise.
No, it is the same premise. It's go time. This is it. There's no more like building toward this or wait for this or that or this guy to develop. It's go time. Go try to win a World Series. BT and Sal on the fan. We'll get more of your calls when we come back. My wife did text me. I guess she was listening to that last segment. Thankfully, we kept it clean. Mm. Did I ever tell you how, like, I'm very happy at home and everything is great and I love my
wife.
Oh,
yeah, you tell me all the time.
I'm just making sure that we get that
and
out
then
there.
And then you tell me the truth.
She texted. She loved the Papa Shango brother love thing and saying Papa Shango was based on a voodoo is it practitioner or
certainly a word practitioner or practices. I mean voodoo.
Yeah,
the practices of voodoo.
Whatever word she sent there. So voodoo guy. Brother Love is, you know, he's based on a the church.
The Christian,
the gospel.
So I've got a religious decision you tell me I got to make.
I don't know if it's easy.
I mean, for me, it's an easy one.
I don't know if it's an easy thing. Voodoo guy?
Well, for me, it's an easy one.
Okay.
That's an easy one. If we're going to lean on. So look at your wife going, she is smarter than you.
Yeah,
of course, she's got to take it five layers intellectually deeper than just two knuckleheads on the radio dressing up because they lost a bet. She's talking about voodoo and religion. There you go. All right, BT and Sal, back to the calls. 3RQ coming up, 888-808-1019. And by the way, how do you put up with this guy? How do you put up with him? You know what I mean.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On the Fan.
RQ, before we get back to your calls here, and it's been a while, BT, because we obviously were off a couple of Wednesdays with the holidays and all that, so it's been a while. I have one here in the holster for a while.
I miss this.
That I've been wanting to ask you.
I like this.
Number one, would you rather hang out with your coworkers in an actual suite or hang out with the coworkers down first row on the ice? And obviously there's a reason I'm asking this, and I'll get to it in a second.
Yeah, let me see here. I'm going to sit on the boards, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit on the boards, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, suites are fun, but I'm taking the action on the ice.
So we went to the Islander game a couple weeks before Christmas, right, when we went with the fan guys, and they always treat us well, and we go out there and have fun. We're having a suite. And then the usual operation is you hang in the suite, and then for a period, you get to go down and watch the game first row right on the ice in Mr. Ledecky's seats. And we're ready to go down, and half the guys, now you had to leave for something else.
I had to go to a 40th birthday party.
McMonagle, Izzo, they're like, meh, we're good. I'm like, what do you mean? You don't want to go down to the ice and watch the game?
Really?
And it ended up being, I forget who went, it was just me, Hoff.
Keith went. I know Keith went down
with... He went with Gio.
Yeah,
there was a couple of groups that had to go down because there were so many people. But then Hoff, who was it Hoff that went? Me, you, Loogie,
and Gallo.
And it was Gallo, okay, right. So the four of us, Gallo, Hoff, Loogie, and me, we're like, yeah, screw it, we'll go down. Only four of us. The rest of the guys stay in the suite. I'm like, what are we doing here?
Well, they're lazy asses. They wanted to eat and drink. They didn't want to move. That's
I guess
why.
That's the point. Probably wanted the food more so than the action.
And the booze.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was a lame move. So you're with me.
I'm on the ice.
Yeah, you get an opportunity to go down the ice. You take it.
Mm-hmm.
You get off your rear end and you go down on the ice. All right, number two. If your recycling blows down the street because of the wind, would you put an effort in to go track it down and clean it up?
Dude, you got to be asking me this for a reason because we don't live too far from each other, and it is. But the wind is hellacious. Let me tell you something. So last night, I'm out of my mind this morning. The wind is howling last night for some reason. Now, I do appreciate the effort because I usually do this. You'll do it sometimes, but there's so many boxes because the way ours go was I guess it's the first Wednesday of the month.
Right.
And we had so many boxes from Christmas. And then, of course, Colt's birthday is early January as well. We had boxes everywhere. So I had to go to the orthopedic surgeon yesterday, whatever, I get back, blah, blah, blah. Watching the St. John's game. Jen goes, I'm going to go out and put the boxes now. I'm like, wow, that's a big effort. That's a big ask. I thought I was going to get stuck with it, which I would have done.
Right.
But I appreciated that she was doing it because it was probably five trips, maybe more. Long story short, of course, this is what drives me nuts about, like, women. I don't know how else to say it. Like, they change their mind a million times. So she goes out and she puts them out, which I appreciate. And then about an hour later, she comes back. You know, I'm watching, what the hell was that? I think I was watching politics, right?
Yeah, okay.
It's after the St. John's gets laid. She comes back into the room from doing whatever. I really think I should go outside and, you know, the boxes are getting knocked around. I said, all right. I think she was thinking that I was going to get out of my bed and out of our bed. I'm not going anywhere. I showered. I'm in my pajamas. I got my hand down my pants like Bundy. I ain't moving anywhere. St. John's 1x10. I'm good. So if somebody's moving, it's you. So, right. So anyway, it's a true story. So she's throwing the line, like hinting. Yeah, I'm like, all right, good luck. I'm like, don't forget to turn the alarm off because we turned the alarm on. That was like my final reminder. I'm honestly not moving. Right. So, oh God. To her credit, she goes out, she reassembles because they were going everywhere. And she does it. And then, dude, like an hour later, things hitting against the side of the house. So I know we're waking up
nasty
to Wizard
win.
Of Oz, basically Kansas, the next morning.
Nasty win last night.
I woke up. I said, I don't give a bleep. I said this. I said, I don't give a bleep where these things are. I'm getting in my car and I'm driving. I'm driving over them. I'm going to work, right? So, but I couldn't do it. Like, the good person in me could not do that to my home and my neighbors, right? So I'm in the I'm half. I haven't had a drop of coffee yet. I'm half asleep. It's freaking freezing out. Sal, what I tell you, there's boxes within a 30-yard radius. 30 yards, not 30
God.
Feet.
Yeah.
30 yards.
All over.
I go, and like a good husband, like a good neighbor, like a good dad, I put the boxes at perfect, like I'm in the military. As soon as I start walking to my car, hand to Bible. They flew everywhere. I actually threw my coffee. I smashed it in the ground. I get in my car.
Good
I
to
just,
see you keep your
I
composure.
This, I go, I wish I could just curse. I'm like, bleep this. I just left. I drove for stuff, and I said, I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah,
I tried.
I've had, you just can't, it's, I get why people would want to do it, bring the boxes out the night before. You can't do it with the wind. I learned this the hard way at my prior house. I wake up one morning, the box is all over the place, and I feel guilty. So, like, you're right. The human nature part is like, oh, crap, that's
yeah.
my... Because if it were blowing on my lawn,
oh, yeah.
I'm not cleaning up your stuff. You
no.
couldn't get it.
And it's got our names on it, too, from some of the packages.
Right? That's
you
exactly
know.
Right, so they know who it is.
Otherwise, I really wouldn't care.
So, yeah. Just let it go. I do think sometimes you have, it's like, it's too far gone.
You can't go
searching the neighborhood for every piece that blew away.
Yes.
But this morning I was cleaning up stuff that wasn't even mine, neighbors
and
stuff.
And I've done
like
that before. I'm a good neighbor. Like, I'll bring others, like, their trash cans in, or I'll shovel, like, if they're not home. Like, I'm a good neighbor, but I was at my wit's end today.
Like a good neighbor, BT is there.
BT
last
is
one
there.
For you. Favorite late night talk show host of all time?
Conan. I think he's the wittiest. Like, Conan, I belly laugh with Conan. Like, I his mannerisms, like, what he... I can't do a rawr. Like, when he's got an attractive woman up there. Like,
you know what I'm saying.
Like, listen, Carson was brilliant, and Letterman was amazing, and I don't really... Kimmel's awful.
What?
Nah, I'm not a Kimmel guy. I think...
I like Kimmel.
I don't like him anymore.
Fallon?
Fallon was really good. I'm not a big fan. I don't really watch. I watch the news at night.
Right.
Quite frankly,
well, you can go back to what you used to watch.
I do. Like, if I stumbled upon Carson, like a late night, like on one of these old channels, he's really, really good. I just think that Conan. I think they're all brilliant and they've got great writers and the deliveries are unique and different. To me, Conan, like, I truly laugh out loud, like a true laugh. Like, my God, this guy's funny.
Yeah.
Conan, how about you?
I think Letterman, and it's not even close. I was always a Dave guy. I love Letterman. I mean, Leno was okay at times. And I used to, if he had a good guest on Leno, like, let's say he had Sandler on.
I liked Leno. I always thought, I liked Jay Leno. I did. You didn't like it? Yeah, I get it.
He's
I liked him.
He's all right. And I've done a lot. Like, I love one of my my favorite movies, I can't even remember the name of it. I think it was called Late Night or Late Night Shift, whatever it was, but there was a movie.
The Late Shift?
Based off of the book that was out about taking over for Carson and how that went down.
Wow.
And then I've read a lot of stuff about Letterman. I'm a huge Dave Letterman fan.
But Letterman's a jerk, everybody says. No, he's an ass to everybody.
I'm not buying that.
What do you mean everybody says that he's a jerk?
I don't buy it. I mean, he probably was dealing with a lot of pressure.
Well, so are the other guys. I bumped into Conan in a restaurant. Couldn't be nicer.
Yeah, you know why?
Nicest guy in the world.
He wasn't as good as Letterman.
By the way, this was like 15 years ago, kind of at the top of his game. Like, not when he went to TBS,
whatever. Is that why
TBS,
you like Conan?
Whatever it was.
You met him?
No, I just really think he's hysterical. And part
he's
of it,
okay,
you know,
but you know he's what
it is, too? You know what it is, too? I love actors. I know he's not an actor, but I love actors who have that physical element, like John Ritter from Three's Company, Jim Carrey. Chris Farley, of course. Yeah. And Conan has, like, Letterman didn't move. I think that he's the smartest of all of them. I think he's brilliant.
Yeah, Letterman was always my favorite. Right. And I'm with you now. Like, I think Kimmel's the closest to Letterman, which is why if I were to go with anybody now, I would pick Kimmel over the other two, Colbert and Fallon. And not to disrespect those guys, but they're just not my style necessarily.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Some of the elements are fun on those, but to me, Letterman was just the man.
The standard, huh?
Yeah, I love
really?
Dave.
Really?
Oh, love Dave Letterman. He'd be a dream interview for me.
So like, he's like the Jordan?
I used to live in the apartment building above the studio.
He's on the west side.
My last year, like 52nd Street, right above the Sullivan Theater. I lived on there 1 year after I moved from the upper west.
He was going to bring you on as guest one night? Hey, get the guy up in apartment 3R, see what he's got.
As I was walking around to go to the gym just around the block one day, somebody offered tickets to his final show.
Oh, wow.
And I ended up going to that.
For free?
Tickets. Yeah. Well, tickets were free then. Yes, his last ever show. All the stars that he had lined up. I still have my ticket stub. I love that. Being there in the building for Dave Letterman's final show.
That's amazing,
dude.
Yeah,
that was love.
Who was the main guest that night? Do you remember?
I think they had, and everybody was asking this. Yeah. Actually, there were news crews, and I think it was like 880 or whatever. It was like, hey, who are you excited to see for Dave Letterman's final show? And I'm like, Dave Letterman. I don't care about the guest.
He had them
all lined up, like Seinfeld, okay. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, I think, was there.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Carrey was there. I forget, but they had a whole top 10 list. He had 10.
Halle Berry was on with him quite a bit. Was she there that night?
No.
She was always on with him.
I don't think they did a specific guest. They had the 10 people for the top 10 list.
Okay.
And then I think it was just Dave, if I'm not mistaken.
Have you seen another talk show aside from him in person?
Good question. No, I don't recall. I've been to Letterman many times, but not.
I never saw Letterman. I went to Colbert when I was doing the a lot of TV stuff for CBS back then. Like, they got me really good. Not to drop that, but that's really the only reason I went. Like, I thought he was funnier on comedy. Where was he? On
Comedy Central.
Channel, Comedy Central.
Yeah.
I'm going to be totally honest. The politics have become too much.
Yeah.
It's just too much.
I don't pay attention to the politics.
It's become too much.
You're right. It's a lot of political.
It's too much. I want to laugh. I don't want to think. It's too much.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We come back. We'll reset, get you down with the king topic of the day. We were talking Aaron Rodgers to start the show. We'll do that with your calls as well. 888-808-1019.